Hey everybody, this is Drew.
And it's Blake.
And you're listening to the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoker Controllers podcast.
Welcome to episode 87. Before we get to it, we're going to go ahead and go through our preamble. You can find us on all the social medias just by searching the name, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. We do have a Discord as well as a Reddit page. We're on those a little less often.
Mm-hmm. The Discord is always active on our phones.
True. We also, one of the cool things you can join us on is we have a Twitch channel that we've been doing a lot lately as a part of our ongoing semi-expansion. It's the Lock, Stock, and Three Smoke Controllers. Those are kind of added episodes to the main line. We hang out with our cousin Brian, just play a bunch of co-op games. He has a unofficial third host of the show, so it's pretty cool. He's also our editor now at the moment, mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. Yep. If it sucks, yell at him. And right now, you might be hearing a bed of music. I'm not sure which one's being picked. That's between the producer and the editor, not my job. But if you want to hear you can potentially hear your music as the music bed or as a band for us to play. And you can email us that and any questions as well to the number 2smokingcontrollers@gmail.com. And speaking of music, on Spotify, besides the listening to the podcast, Drew curates, which he should be adding to today, he curates a list of all the bands/songs that we've played on the podcast so far. So you can go and listen to those, and that's pretty fun. We also want to thank all of our patrons and welcome anyone to join our Patreon. Everyone knows what that is. We just help pay some folks. Specifically, more than anything, we play Maladin, aka Devious Pixel, for his artworks. We also have our Lock, Stock store, which you can get t-shirts, hoodies, I think koozies, and maybe a glorious pair of underwear. I think that's still there. Mm-hmm. And a bit of self/cross promotion at this point is we have a brother podcast called Action, the movie podcast, where myself and a friend of ours, Steve, we take turns trying to surprise one another with a movie, and then we don't discuss it until the record so that the other's opinions don't affect the other's opinion. And we've had a pretty good blast with that, going back and forth trying to surprise. We've had some surprises for sure real recently. I think our most recent episode was Paddington 2, which was definitely out of left field, but a good movie. So y'all watch that, listen to that episode. I also have a short story that I self-published through Amazon called They Come This Night. And if you're a Kindle Unlimited member, it's automatically added to your library. You can find it, no problem. Just search the name. And if you are not a member, it's just a buck. No harm in that. I've spent more and gotten a whole lot less back and been way sadder. If you don't want to try to remember all this, all the links are in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And I think that finishes that up. With that done, the semi-premise of the episode today is these are, in fact, two Gamefly games, but one of each, Drew beat one and I beat the other. So they get thrown into our main episodes, not a Gamefly episode since we managed to beat them. It's just going to be two of these beaten games, and then Drew is adding some music. Hopefully he's all up to date on the Spotify list.
I'm looking right now while you're doing the intro, and I added this song from the last time I did a song, but hadn't added this song from before that.
Oh, cheese and crackers.
So also, while I'm adding the song today, that I'm doing today, right now, so I can't possibly forget.
Okay. Go ahead and jump into our first game, which is called Transformers Battlegrounds. Now, Transformers Battlegrounds originally came out on everything, from what I can tell, October 23rd, 2020. It is developed by Coat Sync. They themselves are a publisher and developer, and so they've helped publish a couple other games. I'm only going to focus on the stuff that they developed, as far as I could tell. Mm-hmm. And so they've developed 9 games, and in total, they've developed and published 23. So they've got quite a bit of, you know, repertoire. They have 110 employees, which is pretty crazy, I thought, for such a small company, but they're really not that small. They have been, and it's 110-ish, because as I was counting, there was like interns and freelance people that work, so it's kind of hard, but I'm guessing 110 based off what I could tell. They've been around since 2009. They are based out of the UK. Oh, I think specifically they're outside of Newcastle near Gateshead, which is, it's up in UK. I just didn't want
to... You're just saying places that mean nothing to me.
Yeah. I just wanted to, like, you know, be like, I kind of know, be more worldly, I guess, instead of just saying the UK, because UK is not a small area.
You're saying places, you don't know where they are either.
I don't either, but other people might, people who live in the UK. Like I said, they have made a quite a plethora of games, and I wrote down a few of them to be specifically mentioned. They have one that's called, they actually have dealt a lot in VR and Oculus and stuff, and I think a couple of the games I have picked out to discuss, ones that seem most interesting to me, are in fact VR games. One is just called the Jurassic World Adventure, where you're a civilian who is on the Jurassic, one of the islands, and you're just trying to survive being chased by 3 velociraptors. That's the whole point of the game, and it's called Clever Girl. Mm-hmm. It's Jurassic Park Adventures Clever Girl, which is kind of fun. Then they have one called Esper. They actually have Esper 1 and Esper 2, which are like escape rooms, but it's in the room you're in. Like, you put the VR set on and it kind of ARs some stuff in the room, mm-hmm. and gives you a door that you can't leave out of until you've solved the, like, it just places the puzzles in the room you're already in, which is just kind of lays them over, but you can't leave the room you're in until...
That's cool, though, if it works well.
Yeah, so you have that, and that's Esper 1 and 2. And they have another one called They Suspect Another, and it's like a co-op VR game. It's one of those, you know, whodunits type situations, but it seemed pretty cool because it's also like it gives you, it makes a room up, and then you can't leave, you can't even, like, from what I could tell, you can't even log out until you figured out who's done it. So it seemed kind of cool. But a favorite thing of theirs that I was most interested in is a thing called Augmented Empire. And it was a turn-based isometrical RPG. And it basically, what it did is, it's one of those isometrical cover shooters, kind of like XCOM, stuff like that. But your point of view was the security camera, so you could toggle through the security cameras and you had just sneak through the levels in like isometric battle. So that was actually, it seemed really cool.
But also VR?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. But it was VR, but you were just the camera angle.
So it seems like this is like the only licensed thing they've done.
As far as I could tell.
This also seems to be a lot more, I don't know, dumbed down's the right term.
No, some of their stuff is rather silly. Like, one of the things they published was that Fogs, that two-headed dog thing, and a couple other, they have some very kiddie games that they've published. But I'm gonna speak about one other thing before I dive into the actual game itself. I thought that I don't even normally talk about this, but I thought it was kind of interesting and cool, was apparently there's something called Thunderful Group, which I kind of is like, it's a holding company that has them and a whole bunch of other people, which the main function is it just kind of supplies them with money so they keep making games. Is really the whole point. But the Thunderful Group is based in Sweden, but it didn't even come about until 2019. But it wanted to help support smaller, it's just an umbrella to support smaller developers, which is why a lot of their thing grew in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But I want to bring them up because I think it's kind of crazy that Thunderful Group is the sole Nintendo distributor since 1981 for Sweden, all Nordic countries, and the Baltics. They've been the sole Nintendo distributor. And I thought that was as a
big contract that you don't want to lose.
Exactly. So I thought that was kind of cool and interesting to little thing to bring up. So now I'm actually going to dive more into the game. Well, the game and what the game is based off of.
Yeah, see, this will be a whole lot of Blake because I didn't play this game. I knew when we gamefly this game, I wasn't going to play it at all. So between initially you did play it for a minute when it was leaving Game Pass to see if you liked it enough to, because I think it's a little longer than a quick run through. So he tested it on Game Pass. When it left Game Pass, we just put it on Gamefly, pretty high on Gamefly. So it come and showed up and he did a full playthrough. I didn't touch it at all. I wasn't interested.
That particular month, there's quite a few things that were leaving Game Pass, just one of them. And the game itself, honestly, it's not very long. I'll tell you how long I played it and everything, but on top of everything else, I wanted to do the bigger stuff on that was leaving.
Things we cared about more on Game Pass at the time.
So, like I said, we're talking about Transformers Battlegrounds. Now, it is based off of the Transformers cartoon.
Yeah, which one?
Cyberverse.
Okay.
Specifically, and Cyberverse ran from 2018 to 2021. It had a total of 62 episodes plus two incredibly long finale episodes. Mm-hmm. And it was weird. Normally, each episode was only 11 minutes. So they would do like two episodes in a 30-minute block. It's kind of how they would go. It's a Cartoon Network does some weird things. Like, you look at some of like the Adult Swim things, they're only like 11 minutes, like old Metalocalypse and stuff like that. But they did basically 62 episodes of 11-minute episodes. And then for their finale season, the final, they call it a season, but it's really just two episodes. But each of those are quadruple length, making them each basically 90-minute long. So they did a 3-hour series finale, but they call it season 4 because they were able to break it up into a bunch of episodes. But you can watch it, like, when it first aired, they watched it in whole.
Right, weird.
But had breaking points.
Needless to say, we didn't watch it at all. We don't watch under the Transformers. There's just too many.
It's hard to keep up, but it was popular to go on for that long. And this actually took place in between season 3 and 4 before them leading up to the final finale. And it's canonical. Like, it does kind of like an overcap and then its own little adventure. And then it kind of ends where that one's about to pick up, from what I could tell.
So I guess it's important to say, why, of all the Transformers, I guess there's not that many Transformers games. Normally, there haven't really been anyone since the what was that company who did the two shooters?
The War for Cybertrons?
Binonix or something like that? Binox?
Something like that.
We played those two because they were co-op. And there was Devastation, which we talked about recently on the Platinum podcast we had. Devastation was Transformers, and then I guess this is the next Transformer. Dark of the Moon.
Dark of the Moon had
the Loneliest Gamer.
The Loneliest Gamer, yeah.
So I guess there is quite a few of these games. This one's very different than all of those in its own way. This one's, you played this one for us specifically because it kind of lines up with the genres of a certain genre of game that you like.
This ended up being a turn-based isometrical RPG.
Is it an RPG?
It can be, but barely, because your characters level up to an extent. I'm not sure if they level up, but you get these like Energon crystals, which allow you to power up your abilities and unlock new ones. So it kind of counts as an RPG. I don't necessarily count it as one, but some people do. It does use the exact same art style as the show. It's like a cool little cel shaded thing. And as well as the show, every single voice actor from the show reprised their role for the video game. So that was, pretty cool, or possibly part of a contract. Who knows? So I didn't hate the game by any means, but it was not, even though I only played it for like opening mission or two, and I was like, okay, cool, I do want to get this, but let's put it on Gamefly and I'll do something else. And then when I turned it back on, I was like, oh, it's exactly what I thought it was. It doesn't do anything different. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm expecting, you kind of level up and get different abilities, but you literally, how their ability tree works is each character has three abilities. You have an ultimate ability and then like two standard attacking abilities. And depending on what class you are, which those are Brawler, Support, and Scout. And it basically comes like a this or that. You're like, oh, your first one, do you want short range or long range? And then your second one is, do you want single point or do you want an area effect? And then you have your ultimate. And I was just, some of the ultimates are really good, but then you had a this or that, and it was basically a chase down or just a massive damage and like a full thing. But it got very samey. You have a plethora of characters. You have some fan favorites. You get Bumblebee, Windblade, Grimlock, RC, Wheeljack, and Optimus. But Optimus was kind of separate. He had a special ability that only he... Actually, they all only had special abilities they had. But it was their middle abilities, and it was just... It was a little too samey. Like, all the characters were different enough, but also the same.
Yeah. Like I said, the game's not very...
No.
Not very deep. This was meant to be targeted at kids.
Yeah. Which I think... I mean, if kids love this, I some of the reviews and stuff said that along with Mario plus Rabbids, this was entry level for kids to get a taste of
strategy
games, isometric and strategy games, and like to make them think differently, because
they're just running in a room and shooting stuff.
Yeah, they wanted to try to push kids to think more, and like, because it is cover based and stuff like that. Like, you get like just like an XCOM game. Like, if you're up against the wall, you get the cover and all this stuff, and you can blow up cover. And some of the abilities, two of them in particular, particular. Wingblade had one where she turned her turbines on and it pushed things, but it also pushed environmental hazards. So you could have somebody up against the wall in cover, but then like push an explosive car or barrel and it would blow up and damage the enemy behind a wall and stuff like that. But Optimus was the reverse. Instead of pushing things, he could pick up an enemy and throw them into an obstacle and damage them that way. Or even a couple of times, like one of the final things you get is this thing called an Energon Storm, which instantly kills anything that it touches. And it's slowly creeping up on you as the battlefield, and it's kind of like a battle royale where it's shrinking the battlefield and you have to make it to the exit. And part of the strategy to get through faster was to pick up enemies and throw them to the Energon Storm and keep on running. And so it was pretty cool. And of course, you know, everyone, you know, they have their robot form and then their vehicle form. Vehicle form let you travel further. But,
you know, it was like, I was going to ask at some point, like,
what, you had no control over it.
So transforming, was it just for animation's sake? Like, it didn't actually do anything?
For animation, like I said, when you were trying to basically, like in games like this, you have your action points and you're like, oh, you can move once to take an action point away, and then you can attack twice, or you can attack three times, or in this case you can use all three of your action points to move really far, to dash or run, and they transform to make it, you know. And some of their abilities, some of the specials had them transform and use like some cool attacks. Like Bumblebee had one where he transformed and it was called like Dash and Sting or something like that, because he's a bumblebee. He would transform, but he would keep one of his hands untransformed and turn it into his little stinger. It would feel like an anime fight where he would just pew, 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 pew. He would like fly by and do a bunch of like Omni Slash, but it was Omni Sting. It's a cool game. All the graphics.
So the cast of characters you mentioned, is that the entire cast you play as?
Yeah, and people were kind of upset because you don't get to play as Decepticons. Mm-hmm. There's not like a special Decepticon story or anything like that. The only way to play as them is by going into like the verses and hitting grudge match, and then you get to play. That's the only way to play as Decepticons. It's a strictly Autobot story game.
Yeah, guaranteed nobody played the versus mode.
I beat the game in 9 hours, and I was only short 3 achievements. Of which I did try to do again. It was 2 difficulty achievements, which were normal and hard. And then, because I literally beat the game over the course of a weekend. We got the Gamefly on like a Friday night. Who knows when we got it, but I didn't start it until Friday night. And I played it over the course of the weekend and got it beat. But there's an achievement that I could have got but didn't. Because, like I said, Optimus has that really powerful throwing ability. It's called Throwback, where he just takes them and throws them behind him. But there is an achievement called Throwback Thursday, which was doing that on an enemy and killing him on a Thursday, just as a pun. Not a pun, but, you know, Throwback Thursdays. But I didn't have the game long enough to do it, so I just didn't get that achievement.
Too difficult.
And the 2 difficulty ones.
Do you try on hard?
I did try on, like, the highest difficulty. It's like, it's not that difficult. And I was able to get through it, but it was stressful, and I was like,
ain't fun no more.
It's like, yeah,
I'm saying about difficulty achievements. Some games, it's just not fun no more.
And I was like, meh, I'm done. I did it. And when I look it up, it says to beat the main game, it's 12 to 15 hours, which I could see that if you're doing on the, I mean, if you did it on the highest difficulty, it would have stacked and I wouldn't have to go through multiple playthroughs. But it was almost overly easy on easy. So maybe I could have did normal, but I had fun. But then there is a DLC called Shattered Space Bridge. And that has a bit of a random factor.
Did you play it?
I didn't get the DLC, no. I didn't
spend money on a Gamefly. We will do that occasionally if a Gamefly game we're really enjoying has a DLC. We will go ahead and purchase the DLC because we're not paying for the game. So a DLC is a way to chuck money to a developer of a game you like.
We have done that a couple of times.
We have.
It's like, oh, it's just $7 because we get lucky and it's on sale too. We're like, heck yeah, you know, because we're cheap. But the DLC, like I said, is called Shattered Space Bridge. And because it has a randomized nature, it was between 25 and 30 hours.
Jeez.
And I was like, man, I'm not doing that. I'm dead. Because I was like, not my cup of tea. Besides that, there was a whole bunch of like skin packs, up to like I think 3 or 4 different costumes.
All the different characters, all the Transformers. Yeah.
So it's kind of like Bah Humbug.
So Shattered Skybridge is another story.
It's like the extension story, because what happens, you do visit Energon via a space bridge, and then you spoiler alert, you beat Megatron.
What?
Yeah, and so as you beat Megatron, you hop on your space bridge to leave Cybertron to go back to Earth.
Yeah.
And he blows up the space bridge as y'all are in it, and it kind of scatters you through the multiverse.
That sounds cooler than the game you played.
A little bit, the whole thing was at random nature.
I'm sure you didn't play that. You had the game on Gamefly. You might as well have just played that.
I think the DLC was more expensive than I was willing to pay.
What was it?
Which, I mean, if it's like 30 hours, cards, randomized nature. You could play a whole bunch, but don't have a whole lot more to say. Because, like, the game itself wasn't very long, and I knocked it out in a weekend. And I enjoy Transformers. I like Transformers very much. I think it's always cool, but there's, like, so many iterations. It's so hard to keep up with. I'm honestly fairly excited to watch that new one that's coming up. Transformers Beast Within or whatever, Unleash the Beast, basically Beast Wars. And I'm actually cautiously excited about it because it looks like it'll be fun.
Shattered Space Bridge is $9.99. It's probably bad for that amount of content.
No, well, maybe. Also, I may have looked at it after I tried to do the hard run, and I was like, meh, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, if I looked at it before I did the hard run, maybe it'd be a different story. Because I think there's also a site co-op version, like, but it's like couch co-op. So if you're looking for something to play with your kid or something like that to try to get them off of dumb games, you know, stupid, silly little games that you're like, oh god, let's play something else. At least this one has, you know, will make them think a little harder. Mm-hmm. It'll make them use their brains besides just,
like I said, running into a room and just hitting the shoot button.
Yeah, or freaking Minecraft.
Yep.
I don't really have anything else to talk about other than maybe you and I, when we get off, we can try looking at some of those VR games. And they look kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll see if they're on Oculus. Because we have an Oculus, and I'd like to find an Oculus game that's more of a game and not just like a 15-minute experience to talk about an Oculus game on the podcast, yeah.
And at least the Augmented Empire, the other ones, the Esper and stuff, seem like they'd just be like little room games, but they might be cool.
We'll look them up. We'll look them up today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to the next game, the one that I actually played.
I'm trying to make
sure. Well, you played it too, but I'm the one that I played it all the way through for some reason.
Yes, okay. So that covers Transformers Battlegrounds. Please go check it out. It is a fun game, and it is short, so maybe find it on sale. So our next game we're going to be talking about is called Cloudpunk. It originally came out April 23rd, 2020. These are all both incredibly, well, not incredibly, they're fairly new games. So Cloudpunk is developed by Ion Lands, and they are a German company based out of Berlin. So far, they have made just 3 games, but they're all pretty cool, I think. Their first game is actually still ongoing. It's a free-to-play, it's a survival game where you have to go hunt, gather resources, and build. But it's called Phoning Home, and you're dealing with 2 robots.
I'm surprised they get sued for that.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. But it's other country, who knows, maybe there. But it's 2 robots, they crash land on a planet, and they're trying to gather resources to build their ship so they can leave. That's the whole point, but it's been going for a while. And they occasionally will add updates and, you know, open it up to new ports and stuff like that. So I thought that was actually pretty cool in and of itself. Now, this is kind of cool, is Cloudpunk itself.
Even look like little Wallies.
Yeah, this, I don't know. Cloudpunk itself, it takes place in a city called Novalis, and Cloudpunk is just a company in the game. I'll get to that in a minute, but they are doing a Novalis game. It'll be more like an immersive simulation, like a life simulation where you get to go around and live in Novalis. And that's the game they're currently working on next. And it's supposed to be like RPG-esque, where you can upgrade skills or be a shopkeeper, but have really good haggle skills. That's what it sounds kind of.
Sounds like they want to make more use of the city
of that world
they built for Cloudpunk, to use it for more than just what we talked about.
It sounds ambitious, and I wish them the best of luck. We'll see how Novalis stands. And
I'm still scrolling. I'm on the Steam page for Phoning Home,
mm-hmm.
and you scroll through the community, and it's just a bunch of memes and stuff from Wally, and then art and stuff from Wally on the community page. Are like, yeah, this is just a Wally video game.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's what it looked like. I'm gonna hold them. It could just be fun. It is. I didn't say this earlier, but it is just 8 people, and they've only been around since 2015. And the company logo, I guess, or the company motto, like when I looked them up, is we love futurism and cyberpunk. And that's all their games are along those lines. So we have Cloudpunk, which is a name of a delivery company that your main character works for. Is it Raina or Rainia?
I don't know. Raina, maybe? Rainia?
I think it's R-A-N-I-A, Rainia.
Yeah. This is now the third delivery game that I've played.
Yeah. You want to take over more?
You got more to say about what's going on in it or anything like that?
So basically what happens is you kind of unlock more of the story as you come upon. But Rainia is just starting a job in Novalis. And the company is called Cloudpunk. And they are we'll call them a semi-legal delivery company.
I don't think so. They don't want to be talked about ever. Yeah, they like when you talk to your little dispatcher guy, like you're just really in you, and you kind of like even bring up the name Cloudpunk is just not recommended. Because there's like regular taxis and stuff in the world. I think these weird, shady delivery services aren't something you want to be telling people that you're working for.
Which is fair. And so what kind of cool how it goes is the entire game does take place in just one evening.
It's insane. It does. Like after you, I don't think that kind of the storyline, I don't think that works. Like when you're everything that you experience in this thing, and then when you get to the end, then your guy's like, "You ready to come back to work tomorrow?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'll be here." And I'm like, there's no way every night. Like this should have been spread across weeks of all the different things you do in this thing. Because I forget how long I'm gonna look up how long I ended up playing it and stuff like that. But I was just like, there's just no way this takes place over one night. It's just I don't think that was a smart idea on the developer's side.
Speaking of one night, Look, we got it off Gamefly, and I played it one night, and I was like, I played it for, 3 hours, 4 hours that one night, and I was like, I think I've seen everything this game has to offer, so I don't know how I feel about that. So I waited for Drew to play it, and, life happens, and so we didn't get to it for a day or two, and when he finally played it, he was like, hey, how is it? And I was like, I don't really have a drive to turn it back on. It's not, I don't hate it, it's not bad, but I just don't have drive to turn it back on. And he's like, oh, okay, we'll see how I go tonight. And then it just kind of, I guess ticked your OCD with the package delivery.
I have no idea. It's nowhere near as satisfying as Death Stranding.
Or the lake.
So it's not as satisfying as Death Stranding, but because of the nature of the world, it's more interesting than lake.
There's like a lot more
literally
interesting.
In like we talk about lake on the podcast, and lake there's nothing happening. But I think is the point of that game. It's just a quiet mountain town. There's no murder. There's no espionage. There's no nothing's happening in lake, which is kind of relaxing and it's okay. Like I don't remember how everything we said about that game. I didn't hate lake when I beat it. Cloudpunk arguably might have too much going on. It was like, what I called it when I told Blake, when after I had played all the way through it and I beat everything, I was like, what Cloudpunk really is, there's kind of an overarching theme of making deliveries for this company. But what Cloudpunk really is a collection of sci-fi short stories. Each of your different, sometimes you just take this and drop it off here and everybody's like, yeah, you did it. And you're like, okay, cool. But a lot of them, quite a few of them are like you meet people and they have some stuff to say and you're like, and you get involved in these little storylines and it's like, there's sci-fi tropes and cyberpunk tropes. It just, there's, I can't go into all of them because it really is. I mean, I played in my time here, I did play 13 hours. It's 13 bad. Hours of constantly beginning different kinds of storylines. I don't know how many different storylines there are, and I did almost all of them. It's hard to tell if you're missing anything because there's no way to track what you're doing in the game, and I didn't find a walkthrough. I just kind of played somewhat blindly and just went where I was told to go, and you do get waypoints and stuff, but some stories are obviously better than others. Like I had ones where like a robot had wiped its past for some reason because it didn't know what it wanted to do in its past, so it had wiped its own memory. But then you started collecting things that give its memory back because it forgot that it didn't want to know its memory, and you started like teaching it, like giving its memories back, and then it kind of decided that it was okay to have those memories and stuff like that. There's that one. God, there's just too many of them. The one of the overarching ones is there's like a kind of like an old AI that has been alive for so long it's kind of gone insane, but it has little bits of control over the, it's like the old AI that used to run Novalis. But that one was retired and they have some new stuff going on, but the old one still has control over like traffic lights and stuff occasionally when it like stretches what it can't control and it like causes wrecks. There's like wrecks happening all over town, places that are like there's a place below the city that uses the the ventilation of Novalis. People live down there and they use the ventilation of Novalis to like have heat, and that and the heat gets shut off, and they like, you meet them and talk to them and make some deliveries, and then you hear the heat's getting cut off or whatever, and you run down there to try to save them, and they've all froze to death. That one was pretty dark. The AI might have been controlling the vents for that one. I don't remember. She thinks it's quite, your main character thinks it's quite insane. Mm-hmm. You're talking to her, but it has like these big ideas on consciousness and what should or shouldn't, like if humans should or shouldn't be around and stuff like that. It has these big talks, but like it doesn't really pay off, because like you don't get too involved with it, because like your main character's too busy running around town making deliveries. There is the one thing you did. I know one thing you did do is the bomb delivery early in the game. You disposed of the bomb, I think.
Yeah, I didn't deliver it.
Yeah, I delivered the package. And you don't watch a bomb go off, but you're like driving away, and like some time later, there's like an explosion or something. Like you hear a boom in the distance, and there's like it's on the news, and your character talking to dispatch. But I can't remember his name.
Control.
He's obviously a robot. He seems like a person at first, but like after a few conversations, you're like, okay, this is just an AI in a computer that just tells people where to go. Mm-hmm. But he has a personality and stuff, and he gets kind of jacked up a bit throughout the game as well. But he was like, the explosion had nothing to do with the package you delivered. Don't worry about it, because she's supposed to, because of Cloud Punk's nature, she's supposed to deliver without question. You just go where you're told and deliver without question. But she asked questions.
Basically, think of her as Jason Statham's transporter. You don't look at the package, you don't ask about the package, you just deliver it.
Yeah.
But she's, you know, in the future and is a woman that's not balding and could maybe kick my butt. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, who knows? She's not, like, funnily enough about her.
She's not useless. She is smart.
I guess she's smart. She is, two things about her. She is the least interesting character in the game. And the whole game is voice acted, and her actress is the worst.
No, really?
She just...
Well, if it helps.
Of all people, the whole game, like everybody you talk to has all voice acted, okay? And she's the one person that talks the most that seems like the actress is just reading off a piece of paper.
She
doesn't inflect her stuff. She every now and then she puts a little bit of something into it, but she doesn't, she's not acting. She's just like reading her lines. But everybody else, you meet a lot of different folks who really put some effort, a lot of better. I wonder if she's just somebody they hired quickly, or like, and they had her, and they had a bunch of maybe slightly more professional actors who knew how to act and bring a character to life a little more, and they're acting more than she did. She might just be like a...
She is incredibly new. When I looked, because I didn't look up everybody, I just looked up her specifically because she's the main character. I figured that'd be worth talking about. Her name's Andrea Petarilla, and this is she's only done 4 things, and this was like number 3.
Yeah, she has a little more. I mean, it's cool.
Two other things she has done. One's called Dread Nocturnal. Mm-hmm. And the other one's called The Wild After Dark.
Is there video games? So the video games she's voiced. Yeah, I heard one of those.
She's brand spanking new.
Yeah, she needs a little more practice, I would say. Like she wasn't like a robot. Like, I am here to deliver a package. She wasn't doing that. There's just no inflection, anything. And she was human. Like, she was, of all the people you meet, she seemed like she didn't have any cybernetic enhancement. She was just a person.
Yeah.
Now you don't ever get out. Well, you do. Yeah, you get out.
What are you saying?
Walk around all the time. Almost being like, hey, maybe she's an AI, but no, you literally walk around all the time. But she's like one of the only people in Novalis that's like not cybernetically
augmented at all.
Yeah, everybody else has like different robot pieces and parts, and some people aren't even people at all. There's androids running around and stuff like that. You have your little AI companion,
Camus,
who was originally, I guess, in a dog body, so he kind of acts like a dog a little bit. But you can take AI out of things and put it into other things. So she ends up putting Camus into her taxi. Her vehicle.
It's called a Hava.
She puts Camus in her Hava, and he's pretty much your little nice companion for everything that's going on. He just kind of doesn't. He doesn't really narrate, but he's just an AI companion who's been with her for a long time. Who was kind of used to being a dog and has to kind of adjust to now being a cab. And it's an interesting listen to him talk sometimes, because you don't really think about. Have you ever seen anything where like an AI is pulled from one like you see like an AI in a computer and move to another computer? I know Cloudpunk ain't the first game to do it, but like he was literally pulled from like a dog robot used to being a dog. Like Camus, when she got Camus, the AI, she had a dog bot. Because I don't. I think she had to sell the robot to like make money, but she saved his AI. So he's used to being a dog, but then you like you implant him into a whole different kind of body type, and then the AI has to like,
he's like, adjust. This is much bigger than my last thing. Give me a moment.
But the processor for the cab, like the we've seen this before in other things, where like the processor for the cab is slower, so he can't, Camus can't think as fast.
Yeah,
we've seen this in other books and other types of sci-fi.
Yeah, so specifically, one really cool thing would be Brandon Sanderson, one of our favorite authors, has a book series called Skyward, and the MBOT, when he gets. Yeah. He's like, these processors are slower, and yeah. he gets put into a different body, a different mechanism.
Yeah, he goes from a big spaceship to like a little
cleaning drone.
Little cleaning drone.
He's like, it is so slow in here. Like,
yeah. So that's a kind of a concept we've seen before, but yeah. There's not too much more story to him, because he's just your little buddy to have around, and he comments on everything you're doing, whether or not the bad things you should be doing, if you should be doing them, and stuff like that. He's kind of like a little bit of a moral compass, but you get to make whatever decisions you want, which you kind of make. You're not given that many decisions. Like every now, like you can like dispose of the bomb, or you can like go deliver the bomb, and there's that happens multiple times. Not always bombs, but you have like different things you can
definitely
do like, it here or here. Yeah. Like a person like wants to go here, but it's better for them if they go here. And you're like, well, I can take them where they want to go, or I can take them here to help them, you know, stuff like that. Those are the few decisions you make. I don't think none of these decisions change. I think the game has an quote unquote ending. The game kind of just, because of the nature of this game and the deliveries, like there's not really an end to this. You just kind of like wrap up the night and move on with your life. I could almost see why they would want to use the city more, because this is just like when the city's bustling, it's a huge big city.
Speaking of that, there is a, I don't know if it should have been out when we played, but there is a DLC called City of Ghosts.
I don't think I saw that.
It's a DLC called City of Ghosts. It's on Steam for sure. Matter of fact, it's on Steam right now because they're doing a 3-year anniversary where the bundle, the game itself, as well as the DLC, they're all having massive discounts.
It's not on. It's not showing up on TA, so I guess it's not on Xbox right now.
But at least right now on Steam, it's called City of Ghosts. And it says that you get to discover the fate of Rania because in the DLC, her big thing is she's been like with like, what are they, SecCorp or SecOps?
Is that like pretty much the government, the cops? Yeah.
And then her debt collector she's been on the run from. It comes together.
It sounds like that should have been in the main game, because there is no resolution for her in the main
game. In this direct sequel to Cloudpunk, we see Novalis through the eyes of old and new as two stories intersect. The fate of Rania, Camus, and Cora, which is an alternate AI.
Cora's the insane one.
Yeah. As well as a new character introduced who is, he's a disgraced debt collector named Hayes. And he's coming after Rania.
Yeah, I didn't meet him, I don't think.
But you'll play as both. You'll switch back and forth between Rania and Hayes doing their stories.
If that was out, I might have downloaded it to try to, because there is no resolution really for the
game. It says, like, features, return to the city, explore new areas, new characters, brand new fully voice-acted campaign that's as long and as compelling as the base game. They've added in new feature of street racing and absolute customization of your Hava now.
Yeah, there's a street racing storyline in the game, but I didn't want to do street racing because I don't want to do that.
Then it also says that, you know, experience different multiple endings based off the choices you make throughout Cloudpunk and City of Ghosts. And then it said playing as multiple characters as Rania and Hayes.
Wow.
So it's actually, it seems pretty large.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is almost like it's like a whole other game.
It says it's a direct sequel. And it's, like I said, right now it's, I guess it's about the same length, because you can buy Cloudpunk right now for...
Cloudpunk's on sale on Xbox right now for like $6.
Yeah, so it's on Steam right now for about half off, $7.49. And then there's a bundle that has everything for like $20. But I wanted to bring that up because you never mentioned it, and I wanted
to... We don't have it. It's not on Xbox right now.
Yeah,
not yet.
Yeah.
And one of the... fresh, maybe somewhat new on Steam.
And Hayes is a kind of a backdoor to Novalis, the game itself, Novalis, because he does other things besides just because his whole job is not delivering packages, doing other things, interacting and investigating. But one of the other cool things that they did in Novalis and the game coming out in Novalis is like realistic sim. They have it has dynamic weather patterns and dynamic day and night cycles. So it won't be just one night. It'll be like an actual simulation.
Yeah, we gotta stop selling dynamic weather as a
is a thing.
It's a thing. It's like, all games have it.
It's not all, but some do.
Most games have day and night cycles. It's not like a new thing anymore.
One of the cool things I also found about it is basically the best thing, the way I can compare it to, is when you play it, it's like having the first 15 minutes of Fifth Element, where you're in a taxi, you're driving places, and it's real cool, real colorful. And even how it's, they put a lot of time in like building the city, because it's a, what do you call it? They call it a socially tiered city. The upper class is literally above the clouds, and the lower class and the slums are literally like where all the smog and debris is, and and you know, and you go to all the locations. You go, it was what, four tiers, I think there were.
I don't remember, but I know you ride an elevator above the clouds to go deliver something to this rich person above the clouds. They just brush you off after you deliver it. You have a choice up there too to like change something about what they're doing with a USB stick or something you have up there.
I've been kind of avoiding it, but do you want to kind of talk about the elephant in the room is one of the things that we didn't enjoy about it?
Yeah. The game looks like crap.
Yeah, they could have.
It's a choice. It's a choice. The game is in voxel graphics, which I know is a personally I think is gross. Like, it looks absolutely terrible. It looks so bad and dumb. Like, it, this game on any other graphic style would have been like a marvel to look at.
I would have been much more inclined, but it was, it honestly, it was gross to look at. I was like,
I had another game I tried to play recently that was leaving Game Pass. Moonglow Bay. Moonglow Bay is a game that I might have played longer, but it's also in voxel graphics. Voxel graphics just looks like garbage to me. I know that's the aesthetic, and it's like an indie aesthetic. It looks like Minecraft. I don't care. It looks awful, and it takes away from the experience. Now, I did play all the way through Cloudpunks. I did find Cloudpunk compelling enough to all the cool storylines, and the gameplay is literally just flying your Hava. The controls are pretty good. You fly up and you fly down and you land places and you walk, get out and you walk around and talk. That's all the gameplay is: getting out, walking around, talking to person, picking an item up, going back to your Hava, flying to another place and dropping it off. Now all the storylines happen around that, like you through the radio with the comms on your Hava, or people just talking to you straight into your ear, I guess. So all the storylines happen, however, but the gameplay is just that. But God, the game looks awful.
To the point, and one of the things, like during my first night, the only night I played, rather, is, like I said, I'm okay. Like, I don't like voxel art. I get that it's a choice. But one of the things is, one of the first people, like, you have an interaction with, because all the characters, you know, their voice pops up and you see their icon, their thumbnail. And I was going to talk to a dude who had, like, lime green fluorescent sunglasses and, like, pink updo going on. He was, like, a loud-looking character. And when I managed to go meet him, and his voxel art was just this bald, bland, gray mash and, like, a, not even a pink coat. It was just a gray individual. I was like, what? You put all that work, you could even throw some pink in his coat or give him a pink mohawk? Like, it was just the I get, maybe because it's, again, it is just eight people, and they managed to make the game, and how, and it's pretty awesome, like, the amount of depth and story and everything they put into it. But they gotta either crack the whip on their art guy, or their character in-game modeled guy or gal, you know, whatever, I'm not sexist. Like, it, like, me immediately saw that, and I was like,
character art didn't match the,
not even remotely,
not even close. Yeah, it's weird about that, because it's like, maybe they made certain, because you would meet character, like, more important characters, and their art would sort of match their little body part. What are you freaking,
thumbnail, the art,
the art would match
portrait their, character model.
Model, there we go. Character
Bless
model.
Bless your heart and stars, dude.
Couldn't find the word. So there's a couple of more important folks you meet that, like, I mean, not that many, but that will, their art will match their little model. But majority of your more seemingly random deliveries, they don't match at all.
Yeah, maybe.
It makes the experience kind of disjointed.
I was just like, oh, they don't even care about their own game, was my thought. It was like, oh, so they don't even care.
Maybe they just didn't have the time or the resources to,
or to go back and check it, but meh.
Yeah.
I don't hate the game by any means. I love futurism and, like, cyberpunk stories. I think they're pretty cool, and there's so many different things you can do during these storylines.
Yeah, I barely scratched the surface on the amount of different stories that are told. I'm trying to run through I don't want to just trip over my words here, trying to just mumble out all the different little storylines you go through, but there's quite a big handful of different things you experience.
The game itself was also incredibly well received. Like, besides you and my dislike for voxel art.
Oh, there's going to be reviews that are like, oh, the voxel art is just pristine.
Yeah, bah humbug, whatever. But one of the things, it was well received. Like, I didn't see anything below a 7. you know, or whatever that constitutes. People generally liked it, and the general consensus, because it did come out around the same time as Cyberpunk 2077, mm-hmm. and people were like, this is the real Cyberpunk. It's not glitching, but that's just people.
That was just people want to have something cool to say.
Cool to say and blow smoke.
Because it was cool to bash on 2077.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there is no combat. Everything is just, but you do basically, it's the same story. Not the same story,
same
but
kind of story.
Same concept and story of all
the changes. The changes are, when I play 2077, I will stumble into storylines that are reminiscent of this one. That's because there's just
the tropes of
Cyberpunk and tropes of sci-fi. Like, I'm going to run into the same kind of storylines.
Yeah, but people, like, it's generally well received, and I can understand why, even though it was gross to look at. And when you were running around, you had like three separate camera angles you could do. Mm-hmm. And two of them were abysmal, and when I had more fun trying to kick myself in the nards, but then there was one that was just like in the first person view, and mm-hmm. it ran beautifully.
Yeah, I played when I wasn't. You're driving the Hava in third person, which all you could do is back the camera up. When I got out, I was always in first person. That was just like the way. That was also, it would have been cool to walk around that city in a different graphic style in first person. Like it would have been more, like I said, more compelling, and more, you would have felt more like lived in the city when you're walking down the streets and you're looking around at this world, but everything just looked like garbage.
Blocky garbage.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember much about the soundtrack off the top of my head.
It's synth and like.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't mean it's just, you know, Blade Runner music and, yeah. You know,
just cyberpunk music.
Gringy, synthy, gringy.
One weird thing about you ever look up at the sky?
The lightning?
Yeah, like the weird thunderstorm and the constant thunderstorm, because it's raining the entire game.
It's because it's one night.
Because you're one night.
It's just one thunderstorm.
But like, everything's voxel in the game, but you look up, it's not voxel clouds. It's freaking,
it looks like
these high res thunderstorm in the sky. Or just like, why did you do that?
It almost looks like, what's what I'm looking for? Like photorealism, like they've recorded like a thunderstorm.
Something like that.
But it's kind of over it.
Yeah, kind of disjointed when you look, because everything around you, everything's voxel, but the sky looks different.
And you're like, real clouds? Minecraft has voxel clouds. What's going on here? But maybe that also could have been like a tactic, you know, if it's, you know, just have this repeating up top for like processing power or whatever.
Who knows? I thought it was just kind of strange. Yeah, I don't have much more. Like I say, you are just driving around experiencing storylines. That's pretty much it. You can't handle voxel graphics, you're not gonna be able to get through this. I don't know why I was able to get all the way through Cyberpunk, but I couldn't stand a couple of hours of Moonglow Bay. Maybe I don't know if it's because like Moonglow Bay seems a little more involved, because you have to do a lot more in Moonglow Bay. You have to like, in the catching the fish, I didn't think was that fun. This isn't a Moonglow Bay pocket. Like, we're not gonna talk about Moonglow Bay probably ever again on this podcast, but because the voxel art kind of makes them somewhat related, but it's also gross to look at too. But like, I was like, maybe it's because I played all the way through Cloudpunk, and I was just like, okay, I've gave voxel art all I can give for a whole game. I'm not doing it again in Moonglow Bay. So maybe that's kind of what it was. I don't know.
Well, funny enough, Moonglow Bay is one of the games they published.
Really? They published it?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't develop or anything?
They published it.
Yeah, that's funny. Probably push that art style a little more. I just hope that doesn't take over with the way games look. Other than that's about all I got for it. As of the recording of this podcast, it is on sale right now. So if that sounded interesting, go hop on Xbox right now and get it for like $6. If you get it for $6 now, that makes it easier to justify purchasing the eventual DLC that will give you an ending. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll ever do it or not. It depends on if this game ever comes to like, what we got on Gamefly. I guess I could re-Gamefly it and buy the DLC or something.
Yarp.
That's all I got. Did I say how long I played? I got 26 achievements, 87% of the achievements. The ones I didn't get, some of these I don't, two of these, three of these actually, I don't understand why I didn't get them. There was like successfully complete all time sensitive deliveries, which sometimes you're given something and you have to like drive somewhere under the time limit. I'm guessing I just didn't find them all, so I didn't get that. This one I don't, it's annoying because this one says delivery emergency rations. I remember doing that, and I didn't get that achievement. I guess the other one ties to that. It says Navalis Taurus, discover all unlockable locations. I didn't get that, so I guess I just didn't go everywhere. So I didn't go places that didn't have like a mark. Well, actually, I did do a lot of exploring because I did do a lot of the collectibles and stuff. So I went to like, I landed in all the different places. So I don't know what I missed there. And the last one seems like something I just didn't stumble into. It says give Haldo a candy bar. So that's like four of the achievements I didn't get. That's how close I was to getting all the achievements in this. Kind of sad I didn't, especially for playing 13 hours and not get all the achievements, but it happens sometimes. And I couldn't, if there was a guide anywhere, I couldn't find it. I didn't really
I didn't look too hard for a guide, but there wasn't a guide on TA to kind of tell me the... I like guides that give me like an optimal path with no spoilers. That's what I like about guides. Those are kind of hard to find. But that's all we got for this. So I guess we'll just wrap that part up with play it. If you can stomach voxel art and you like cyberpunk stories,
it's definitely worth checking out.
Like I mentioned what, three stories. Mm. There's a whole... Like every delivery you're doing is some sort of story. That's, I didn't even mention the PI. You have to help multiple times. He's talking in third person. He talks like himself in like third person. But he's talking like a 60s PI.
Like a noir detective.
He's like a noir detective, but he's like telling his story while it's happening. He's like, I don't think the driver likes me that much. I got to turn on the charm to get her to help me. Like he does this help. And that's a good voice actor. That voice actor's truly having fun with it. You actually do multiple, like two or three things with him that actually lead to a ending I don't think you have control over. But like that, again, I can't keep digging into these, but I forgot I want to mention him because the noir detective is pretty funny, and I like the way he narrates what's going on around him, and it kind of annoys the main character more than anything, but she continues to help him. Well, I guess you don't have, it's more of a side thing. I don't know if you had to continue to help him or not, but I helped him to the end of his storyline. He's like searching for a daughter or a wife or something. I can't even remember that much. No, but that's it for that. So we'll move on to the last thing here, which is a band that normally I stumble into bands that are putting out new music currently, but they actually put out a new album 2 years ago, and I kind of forgot about this band. I made a joke with this, Blake. Every time I try to think about this band, the name of the band always left my head. I had this problem with this band forever. I don't know why. They're a pretty cool band. Not one of my favorite bands, but like I just don't like what was about them that like I would think of a song. And I was like, what is the name of that band? And it just kept happening. Oh, I know why I'm bringing them up now. It's because we were watching, here we go again.
Lock and Key
on Netflix. And one of their songs was played in the background for like a scene for a couple of seconds. I was like, oh, cool. I haven't played them on the podcast yet. And I told Blake, and we were driving in the truck the other day, and I was like, I want to play, who was it? Like they played a song in Lock and Key, and I can't remember. I had like 15 minutes of Blake scrolling through my freaking Spotify playlist, just saying band names until it popped in my freaking head. So I can't explain why they have this weird void in my brain. I'm staring at them right now, so I cannot forget them while I'm talking about them. But this is a band called Royal Blood. Here from Wikipedia, Royal Blood are an English rock duo from Worthington, West Sussex. Their current lineup is the vocals of Mike Kerr. He does vocals and bass, and Ben Thatcher drums. Kind of makes sense. There's not really guitar in this kind of weird, because they're just a duo. They have three albums right now, the 2014, 17, and 21. They put out a new song, actually, this year, which I didn't play last year. I'm not going to play that song either. I like people to like go look up their most current stuff. They are a rock duo. It has only two guys. You don't ever hardly, like, when's the last time you seen a duo? It was like the White Stripes, maybe. So these little duos aren't a common thing.
I was looking into their history. It says they were initially part of a four-piece band.
Oh, really?
Called Flavor Country.
God.
But then when they were like younger, and then as they got older, one of the guys left, and then they had, it was just the three members of guitar, and then keyboardist, and then percussions.
Hmm.
And then after a couple of years, around 2012, their guitarist ended up leaving. And so it was just left with the two of them, and they weren't ready to give up. But it's also what led them to their unique sound.
Yeah, I'm reading some of that right now, too. I didn't read too much into them. But
having to plug everything, because the vocalist as well as he's also the keyboardist and guitarist and does literally anything that involves guitar. It's all done via keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then the drummer does all the drums and percussive stuff. But he's also the keyboardist, guitarist, is also the vocalist.
Yeah.
But it's led them to using various, what do you call it, steps, pedals, the various effects pedals
yeah.
to do everything he can do.
Yeah. I'm listening to him now because I've never really looked him up before. It's like you could kind of tell there's no guitarist with the whole everything. Like you even kind of, when you're listening to it now, you're like, oh yeah, there's like no real guitarist and no real guitar in none of these songs. I would say like I picked a song from their first album because their first album is more rocky, rock oriented than their second and third albums. I like stuff from their second and third albums, but I feel like their first album, their self-titled album, Royal Blood's what I'm playing from, does have more of a rock feel to it. I wonder if they had started with like a, I'm not going to read their whole freaking thing here, their synopsis, the whole Wikipedia here, but like, I don't know if they started as more like, because they come from a four-piece rock band, if their first Royal Blood album kind of felt more rocky, and then I guess when they kind of was discovering more more discovery if they've kind of rolled into like this different, still like rock in the, you know, in their background. These other two albums are a little less rock feeling and more of, I don't want to say digital. They're not really digital or electronic because they just sound more, how do you explain it? I don't know how you...
It is, they're using real instruments. They're not using, like when they, because it says that they have, the two of them make all the music.
Mm-hmm.
But it says when they tour and record albums, they have to have session people to play. Yeah. And you can't, because dude can't play keyboard and guitars all at once. So they have touring members as well as session members. So, but they, the two of them are making all the music.
Yeah.
So that's pretty, you know, cool.
That's a common thing with people who like Nine Inch Nails and stuff. You got to have other members with you, or like, what's it, Death Clock? Like Brendan Small makes all the music, but he can't do everything when he goes to play live. So when you see Death Clock live, you see a whole band playing for him.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. Like, I always hate when I talk about band, because the whole point, I mean, for the band, you kind of want the music to speak for itself. Just like mouthing off about bands, you kind of sound like dummies sometimes because don't know all the ins and outs of what it takes to make music. But I guess we'll just let the music speak for itself. And we're going to play. I picked a song from the first album called Little Monsters. I could have picked basically almost anything from the first album. The first album is just full of good stuff. But, and apparently I stumbled onto, and I hate when I do this, I did stumble onto Little Monsters is one of their singles. They have 1, 2, 3, looks like 4 singles from the first album, it looks like. And I was like, dang, I hate when I kind of stumble into a single. But sometimes their singles are really good. I like to get away from them when I can. But Little Monsters is a good piece of what I like from this band. And if you like this, like me, if you like this album, when you listen to it, you might not like the other two albums as much, or you might find the way their sound evolved, you might like it a little more. So everybody's feelings will be different. But because we'll wrap things up here, we'd like to thank Jared Jones and the guys of Emerge for letting us use their song Letting Go for our intro. We really appreciate that. It's really awesome, and I always say it's probably the best part of the podcast. If you listen to the intro and you cut the podcast off, we don't blame you.
Nah.
We want to thank Mlad Markovic, aka Devious Pixel, for supplying all the art to this podcast and coming on the podcast however many freaking episodes ago that was. He was an interesting and really, really nice guy. I want to thank Brian for continuing to edit for us. He hasn't quit yet, and it seems like he's enjoying doing it. So sorry for all the crap we edit out, trying to make us sound better. I know it's a lot of work to not make us sound completely retarded. I think that's all I got. Come to our Twitch streams, where if you want to hang out with us and Brian, you know, he helps make the streams more interesting too. Having a third voice with us makes us more interesting. We are having a good time right now. Well, I say a roller coaster of a time with Monster Hunter Rise. If you had people show up to our streams, you would see one night where we played for 3 hours and did not kill a single monster.
It was not
one of our lowest points in gaming. I think Brian literally said it's the maddest he's ever been at a video game in his entire life of playing video games. That night was something we'll probably talk about on the podcast when we have Brian on the podcast to talk about it. It was staggering how bad that night was. We've since played again and had a night where we killed pretty much everything. So very strange. But come to our Monster Hunter stream. Those monster fights can go any direction. We never know what's going to happen when we're fighting those dang things, because we're not professional Monster Hunter players. With that said, thanks for listening. And we'll have another episode before too long. When Blake wraps up his part, you're going to hear Little Monsters from the band Royal Blood.
I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.